7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is going to be AFC West week this week. And we are going to be starting off with the LA Chargers. Tom, Tim, how are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
It is hot as hell in the Pony Keg Sports studio. Did you not pay the bill?
You know what's funny? You complain every single week about being hot and then cold and then hot and then cold. There's no issue right now.
That's because you either set the thermostat at 58 or you turn it off completely. Have you not heard of a middle ground, sir? No wonder your wife left you.
Wow. It's like that.
Huh? Yeah, man.
All right, before we start the show, we want to talk about our good friends at CleatGeeks.com. Check out their website, CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles and a bunch of other good stuff like that. Tim, what do they got going this week?
They have the 2014 chess semifinals.
The chess semifinals?
Yes.
Age limit?
No, there's not an age limit, but it's for the blind.
I thought that was the U19 tournament.
That was the U19 tournament was last week.
Okay.
Regardless, check out their website, guys. They do a bunch of good articles about football, wrestling, baseball, everything. They put our podcast on there. We appreciate it. So, the LA Chargers. We are going to be talking about the draft, some of the guys that they lost and gained in free agency, and Tim is going to try to steer us in the fantasy football direction
for
the L.A. Chargers.
And I'm going to take my pants off before this show is over because it's way too hot in here.
One other group that we want to thank, DraftingSleepers.com, social network for fantasy sports. Visit Draft Sleepers today after the show. Sign up for free on their website. Basically, it's just a big network for fantasy sports. And that's pretty much what you guys can talk about. So we kind of found them. They found us. And it's nice to see other like minds on there talking about fantasy sports, not just fantasy football, but baseball, basketball, and hockey. So good things over there.
It is great things. And I think it needs to be said as we move forward in the show here. Do you guys realize we are just over 2 weeks away from our first preseason football game?
It's fantastic. I'm excited.
What the hell happened? This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped. And you know what that means? Closer to the fantasy football drafts. I've done a couple already. And
Yeah, because that makes a ton of sense.
It may be a little too early, but I feel good where I'm at.
Yeah, so. Like everything, you're always too early, Josh. It makes no sense whatsoever. Going early is fun for some of us, but the majority of us like to sit back, relax, take our time, and get to the climax that is the fantasy football draft.
Well, I don't know why you think you're so funny. Tom, stop laughing. Regardless, let's talk about the Chargers, and let's talk about some of their guys that they lost and gained this season. But first, their record. They ended last year 5-11, last in the division, 4 games behind Denver, and winning percentage was .313. Points for, though, 410 points for, which was only 6 behind Oakland, who had 12 wins. And actually more points than Kansas City, who had 12 wins as well. But the points against was 423 points. Big, big points against. Kind of, you're not going to win games if your defense is giving up a ton of points like that.
No, definitely not, especially if your offense, you know, is already hurting and isn't able to put up the numbers that are needed to, you know, overcome those big deficits, like you said. You know, unfortunately, you know, the Chargers were 5-11. But to me, it's kind of one of those situations where, you know, with the injuries that they had, with some of the growth that they showed on the defensive side of the ball, even though they did give up 410 points, it's kind of an optimistic outlook for them, right? You don't go into the 2017 season with your head down if you're a Chargers fan. You really have to think that you're right there. You're going to compete for this division.
Let's talk about some of the guys that they lost and acquired this offseason real quick. Some of the guys that they lost. One, DJ Fluker, guard. Guy's only 26 years old. He's going to the Giants. He signed a 1-year deal, $3 million there. Manti Te'o, he went to the Saints. 2-year deal, $5 million there. We have Robert McClain, corner. He goes to Tampa Bay. Jeremy Butler, wide receiver, younger guy. He goes to Buffalo. And then Danny Woodhead, running back. leaves, signs a decent deal for himself, 3 years, $8.8 million with the Baltimore Ravens.
That's the biggest loss for the LA Chargers, losing Danny Woodhead. When Danny Woodhead was healthy for this team, he just helped Phillip Rivers out tremendously. He's a weapon in the red zone, a weapon running, receiving. He was a do-it-all running back for the Chargers. They are going to miss him. It's just going to mean Melvin Gordon's going to get more of an opportunity to be that bell cow lead dog, and we'll see if there's a guy behind him, probably one Brandon Oliver, who will be backing him up and maybe getting some playing time as well.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I'm actually surprised that the Chargers didn't do anything to address the running back position and that they're going to let Brandon Oliver, like you kind of alluded to, Tom, come in and be the backup to start the season. Melvin Gordon is very good, but he has had some injury issues himself, and he hasn't shown the ability, you know, coming off of one good season after a pretty terrible rookie season. So it's kind of a make-or-break year. They're putting all their eggs in the Melvin Gordon basket.
Another running back that they did get in the offseason, not a huge name, but I wanted to lean towards that, Tim. They signed Brandon Oliver, and they also signed Kenyon Barner. Again, not a big name. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of where I was going with it. They did not address that running back backfield at all. I think they might think that Melvin Gordon will be that true three-down guy. And it's kind of scary to think that because he did go down with an injury late at the end of the season. So another couple guys that they acquired in the offseason, we have Russell Okung. He signs their left tackle, 29 years old, 4-year deal, $53 million.
I am not sure if Okung is the answer at left tackle for the Chargers. They desperately needed someone. Phillip Rivers was harassed constantly last year. They needed to upgrade that offensive line. Last year at Denver, he did not look like the former Pro Bowl player that he was. So it'll be interesting to see if the 29-year-old left tackle can play and play at that high level that we're accustomed to seeing him at.
Well, I don't know if I'm completely sold on some of the moves that they made on the offensive line. I like the overall depth that they've built there between the draft, which Tom will get back here in a second, and free agency. What I was trying to say before is, you know, the individual, you know, Russell Okung, you know, you don't really know what he's going to be. Like Tom said, and Denver didn't have the greatest of seasons, but the depth and the talent that they brought in to compete with one another is going to dramatically improve that offensive line, in my opinion.
All right, so what do we think about the Chargers and their offseason with the free agency year?
It was okay. They didn't make too many huge moves. I was glad they let Manti Te'o go follow his girlfriend to New Orleans. That's her original hometown, and she deserves to be with her man. But besides that, they didn't do much. But their draft is a different story. It's something I'm extremely fond of, one of my favorite drafts overall.
Yeah, I like the draft quite a bit as well, and the Manti Te'o jokes are just stupid. I mean,
if you made that, you would have fucking loved it.
No, they're overplayed. It's not a big deal. I would have used something more along the lines of, you know, I'm just happy that Josh and Manti Te'o have so much in common that they both have fake girlfriends who died.
Really? That's
well, not nice at all. His died. Yours just left you.
Wow, interesting. All right, well, let's talk about some of the other additions that they made, and that's with the 2017 NFL Draft. Let's do it.
The Chargers shocked a lot of the people in the draft community with the selection of wide receiver Mike Williams from Clemson in the first round. Mike Williams, he's that big-bodied wide receiver, 6'4", 220 pounds, very good at using his size, his length, to get open and get separation from defensive backs. He's good at winning those 50-50 jump balls, very physical presence on the football field. There were times last year he was straight up unguardable, straight up dominant for Clemson. Big Mike will need to shore up some of the issues with his route running and not just rely on his size to get open. He had a serious neck injury, was that 2014-2015 season? He recovered, looks fine, but a neck injury is something you have to be worried about, something that could come back and hurt him. At first, I wasn't sure how I felt about this pick, but sitting right here right now, I actually love it. The Chargers are in a new market. They need to win over a new fan base, And that's what this pick is going to do. It's going to help the Chargers offense out tremendously. It's going to give Phillip Rivers that big physical receiver that we've seen him flourish with in the past with the likes of Vincent Jackson. I absolutely love this pick.
I do not love this pick. I have been very high on Mike Williams going into the draft, and he was actually my number one wide receiver in front of Corey Davis. And as we got closer to the draft, I ended up, you know, switching him over and taking Corey Davis as my number one overall. But, you know, Mike Williams, like you said, he has all the physical abilities, the talents in the world. But there, something scares me about Mike Williams. I don't know why. I get the vibe off Mike Williams with his injury history and just kind of the way that he plays, the same vibe that I got from Kevin White when the Bears drafted Kevin White in the first round a couple years back. I really feel like the Chargers are going to look back on the 2017 draft and be kicking themselves that they did not take Marshon Lattimore. He could have been a real difference maker on the defensive side of the ball. They obviously have Joey Bosa with pressure up front that now have that, you know, threat in the secondary as well. I really feel like that was I thought that was the route they would go, and it just didn't pan out that way.
I mean, you guys kind of know where I'm at with Mike Williams. I absolutely loved Mike Williams leading up to the draft. Before the draft, that's all I was talking about was Mike Williams, wanting to take him in our fantasy football draft. And then, you know, I saw a lot more of Corey Davis, and I really thought Corey Davis was, and should have been, and glad that he was the number one wide receiver taken off the board. I'm kind of curious if Corey Davis was on the board and the Chargers had their choice of Corey Davis or Mike Williams, which way they would have went with that. I think maybe Mike Williams still might have been their guy. I think he's a different type of wide receiver than Corey Davis is, and you know, I think he's going to compliment Keenan Allen very well.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's a great mesh of players that they have. And, yeah, I like the pick, but it's a risky pick because he is another injury-prone wide receiver such as Keenan Allen that they already have.
True.
The Chargers hit a home run in the second round with their selection of guard Forrest Lamp from Western Kentucky. My number one overall offensive lineman in this class, one of the top performers at the combine, top marks in 4 of 6 events, almost identical numbers to Zach Martin, the all-pro guard from the Cowboys. 6'4", 310 pounds. He's got those shorter arms, though. He, last season played left tackle and dominated at Western Kentucky, but he will be playing guard for the Chargers. There should absolutely be no worry about the level of competition that Forrest has played. Put on the tape against Alabama and watch him compete and whoop up on John Allen and Tim Williams from Alabama. One of the cleaner prospects overall in this class, and there's not too many weaknesses overall for this kid. Should have been a first-round pick in my eyes.
I like Forrest Lamp a lot as well. Love this pick for the Chargers, like I alluded to prior. You know, kind of creating a well-rounded offensive line, and you know he's going to be the type of guy who's going to be able to come in, make an impact immediately for the Chargers, and someone who potentially could be a starter for them for the next, you know, 10 years.
Yeah, I like Forrest Lamp a lot, and again, just like Tom said, should have been a first round pick, and there was a possibility that we were talking about the next guy to go with him that the Chargers picked that should have been up there as well, that was drafted a little bit later. And if he can snap the ball, which I think he can, he'll play all up and down the line. I think center or guard will be his position, but I think they can get away with using him in a tackle if they absolutely need to do so.
It's not too often that a team that desperately needs interior offensive line help gets arguably the top two guards in a draft class. The Chargers got pretty lucky with Forrest Lamp falling into the second round. And then they got Mr. Dan Feeney from Indiana in the third round. Feeney's another big guy, 6'4", 305 pounds, that prototypical size for a zone blocking guard. That's what the Chargers are going to be running, so he's a perfect fit for him. He's that mean and aggressive player with the athleticism to excel in that zone blocking scheme. Offensive line tape is normally pretty boring. Tim wasn't the biggest fan of it. But when he got to watch Dan Feeney, I remember seeing his face when he came back the next week. He was pretty excited to talk about this kid. He plays the whistle. He's just aggressive and super fun to watch. You got to worry about he's been injured the last two seasons, missed a significant amount of time, but he's a 4-year starter and a 2-year captain at Indiana. I think he's going to be starting for him as well.
Yeah, you know, when I broke down Feeney, I talked about the fact that, you know, look the guys who have ran behind him, right? Look at the guys who just had so much success while he was at Indiana. He had Tevin Coleman, yep, obviously ran behind him, and they had a lot of success. So I really,
your boy Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard also had Indiana the year prior to that. So
I forgot about him.
Oh yeah. Huh? So you know, it definitely is exciting to see. You know, he's a local grown product for us. You know, not grew up not too far from where we are here in Chicago. So definitely a good story, and I think the Chargers are gonna love having Lamp and Feeney.
Yeah, another guy that was drafted a round too late, and I think they're gonna get a steal with this one. Again, who knows? Maybe he could play center. He could play guard. I don't think we'll see him at tackle. Though he's about the same size as Forrest Lamp, shaped a little bit differently, but we will probably see him at guard most likely.
Gus Bradley always tends to have that physical enforcer at the safety position for his defense. In the fourth round, the Chargers got their new enforcer, safety Rashawn Jenkins, 6'1", 205 pounds. Jenkins loves to hit, very effective playing close to the line of scrimmage, very physical player overall, and he'll be asked to play close to the line of scrimmage and be that enforcer for the Chargers for the next few years.
Yeah, he's definitely the enforcer type player, Tom. Like you said, doesn't really play the ball, more plays the person. So that's something to look out for here going forward. But a little known fact about one Rashawn Jenkins: he is one of 16 siblings. So
Jesus,
you know, he knows how to play in a team. So you know, he should be good for the Chargers.
Yeah, pretty much everything that you guys said. He's going to be able to play close to the line. Kind of, you look at him, and it's kind of like a Tyrann Mathieu in a sense, you know. He's going to be able to play close to the line. He's going to be able to do a little bit of coverage. Obviously not as skilled, in my opinion, as Tyrann Mathieu, but he will be an enforcer of sorts.
At pick 151, the Chargers added another much-needed defensive back, one of Tim and Josh's guys, Mr. Desmond King from Iowa. I feel bad for this kid. A year ago, he would have been a late day one, early day two pick, and he decided to go back to school, and this is what happened. He got drafted in the fifth round. Primarily played cornerback in college, but he'll either be playing nickel or moving to safety in the pros. Right now, the Chargers website has him playing corner, so it'll be interesting. He doesn't have the elite athleticism, but his tape is very good, and when this dude can sit back in the zone coverage and watch the quarterback, he's very effective at getting the football and creating turnovers. Very solid tackler, special teams plus as well, and I believe he played over 90% of the snaps the last two seasons, so he's always available, which is one of the most important traits for any player in the National Football League.
Well, like you said, Tom, he's definitely one of my guys. I'm a big Desmond King fan. I was holding out hope that the Bears would take him, but nevertheless, he is a Los Angeles Charger, and you know, props to the Chargers going back to that safety well. Go back-to-back DBs there, and they get their enforcer, their hard hitter, and now they got their ball hawk. Desmond King's a guy who can sit back there. He reads quarterback's eyes very, very well. He keeps the game in front of him. Kind of your prototypical what you want in a safety. Tom, you mentioned, you know, last year he would have been, at the very worst, a second-round pick. And I look for him to be one of the steals of the draft, in my opinion, for the Chargers.
This is a slap in the face for Desmond King right here. 2015 Jim Thorpe Award winner, an All-American, ranked second in the FBS with 8 interceptions. I mean, this kid is going to be a phenomenal piece to this defense. And what did we have originally here? Safety, Malik Hooker,
yep,
at this spot. In the first round. And to be honest, I like Malik Hooker a lot, and I like Desmond King a lot. And you're looking at getting Hooker in the first round, Desmond King here in, what, the fifth? it's not that bad of a trade-off in all senses. He's not as good as Malik Hooker. We know that.
Not even close.
Yeah. But at the same yeah. point, getting him in the fifth round is very, very great value. And I think he's definitely going to outperform his fifth round grade here. I think that is a slap in the face, and I think he's going to have a very good year.
Josh, I hate to look you in the face and say this to you, but I agree with you, sir.
There we go.
I agree with you.
He's going to have a massive chip on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be one of those guys where in 2 years there's going to be some special on Fox News like, why did Desmond King fall to the fifth round? This is crazy.
Yeah, I can seriously see him get like five or more interceptions this year because not a ton of fifth round guys get that many chances to get interceptions. So we'll see him a lot in the slot. I mean, I think when I did my breakdown on him, I think that was the best spot for him in the slot. If he converts to safety, which it sounds like he may be doing, I think that's a very good spot for him too.
I can see the Nike commercial already. Why do you do what you do? To prove the 150 picks before me that I'm better than them.
At pick 190, the Chargers added some more offensive line help. They got Sam Tevy, offensive tackle from Utah. That versatile tackle, probably be swing tackle for the Chargers, played both left and right tackle for the Utes in college. Overall, good run blocker, but very inconsistent when it comes to his pass blocking. He'll have to learn, but he'll have time to sit back and kind of develop into that rotational offensive lineman.
And that's exactly what they went with here, Tom. Obviously, they got their two big nasties in the middle there in the second and third round. They go here, add in a rotation guy. You have a couple guys now, a couple vets, around the age of 30, and now you have your two, rookies who are probably going to play a big role in your offensive line this year. Add a piece like this, someone who's a rotation, he can learn, and hey, maybe you get lucky and strike gold.
Yeah, it's just another piece of the puzzle. Just you have to keep Phillip Rivers standing and able to throw the ball. If you don't have those offensive linemen to do that, then you have issues. What happens if one of those starting tackles go down? You could either put him in there or you could slide over one of the guards that you did draft. You have some options now. You can kind of play around with it.
With their final pick in the 2017 draft, the Chargers added defensive tackle Isaac Rochelle. He's a run stuffer, 6'4", 280. He's not going to wow many people with his athleticism, tested terrible, but he tries very hard. Very durable kid, played over 90% of his snaps last season on the defense side of the football. He'll be a rotational piece on rundowns.
He's a good morale for the team, a good attitude type guy. He was a defensive captain at Notre Dame, and all I can think is, he's the type of guy, you throw him, inside Joey Bosa, and, it helps maintain, what they're trying to do on that defensive line.
I don't have much on him. Sorry.
Overall, what would you guys grade this draft over?
So, if it wasn't for the Mike Williams pick, they would have gotten an A. The Mike Williams pick really just it rubbed me the wrong way, and I feel like it could have been their team could have been very, very in very, very, very good shape with a solid defensive blue chip, college player.
What about you, Josh?
I gave it an A minus, to be honest. I think they got the players that they wanted, and I mean, you look at it. Say if you pass on Mike Williams, right? And yep. they very well could have. They have Keenan Allen coming back from injury, but again, he's been hurt and hurt again. Tyrell Williams was a big shining star.
Oh yeah.
Last year, he actually ended up, I believe, top 12 wide receiver last year in fantasy. Had a very good year overall.
He finished like 15 in yards and 14 in touchdowns or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great year.
Yep.
And then who else am I forgetting? Who else?
Well, they had Stevie Johnson last year. I think he's left the team.
They got Travis Benjamin.
Travis
Inman.
Benjamin. Yep, Inman. So they have players there. And I thought maybe with the emergence of Tyrell Williams, and then you have Hunter Henry, who's going to be the guy now, but you still have Antonio Gates there. I thought, maybe they'll wait a little bit for a wide receiver. I was kind of shocked that they went wide receiver that early. I thought maybe second or third. But at the same time, if you look at the fourth round where they took a safety. So say if they take a Malik Hooker there, right, Tim?
Yeah.
In the fourth round, that's probably where they're going to go wide receiver, right? So wide receivers at that point in time, you have Josh Reynolds, Would you be comfortable with the Josh Reynolds? Mac Hollins? Would you be comfortable with him there? To be honest, give me... Actually, Josh Malone, I might have considered if he was still there, but who thought that Josh Malone was going to last that long? But I'd rather have the upside in Mike Williams and still feel super comfortable with it. One, because you have that upside, and I would say B, because that's how I normally do it. But Keenan Allen, you don't know if he can stay healthy. That's the biggest question.
No, you don't know, and you just... You don't know if Keenan... Okay, you're killing bugs in here now.
Sorry, there was a spider in front of my face.
You don't know if obviously, Mike Williams or Keenan Allen or any of the... I just hate the fact you invest, regardless of their team needs and if I thought a better player was on the board or not. When it comes down to it, investing that high of a pick on someone who is that injury-prone, it just doesn't pan out. I mean, you see it not pan out all the time. Treadwell was injured. Coming out of college last year, he never looked the same last year. Kevin White, obviously, I don't keep going back to him. He was injured. Over and over again, you see these things.
I am not worried about Mike Williams whatsoever. I think he's going to play that Mike Evans role in this offense, that Vincent Jackson role in this offense, something we've seen Phillip Rivers completely succeed with. But I'm giving the Chargers an A+. This is my favorite draft of any team this year. I absolutely love every one of their picks. There isn't one that I can really hate on whatsoever. For me, their biggest need was offensive line and defensive backs, and they addressed both of those spots. They also had a luxury pick with the pick of Mike Williams, and I think he's going to be fine. He is not going to be asked to be that number one like weapon that a lot of receivers are when they're taken in the top 10. There's not going to be that much pressure on him. As long as Keenan Allen can stay healthy, Mike Williams is going to get a lot of single coverage, and I think he's going to succeed with Phillip Rivers throwing him the football.
The thing is, too, we all think with Travis Benjamin, right, that he is the slot receiver because you think of that as a consistent basis. Travis Benjamin, slot receiver. But their slot receiver this year is going to be Tyrell Williams, I believe. Tyrell Williams is a 6'4 dude, and Keenan Allen, he's played the slot before. I don't think we'll see him in the slot. I think that, again, like you said, Mike Williams is going to play the Mike Williams role, and he's going to get those jump balls and try to beat people down the field. Even though he had a slow 40 time, it doesn't matter. He can outjump a lot of people.
He still ran the 4.5 zone. Yeah. That's what people wanted out of him, and I'm happy. I was happy when I saw he ran the 4.5.
I'm gonna save a lot of my opinions on the wide receivers. Anything further for the fantasy side? Because you have four wide receivers there who obviously you're not gonna be able to play.
Where do you rank their offensive wide receivers?
They're up there. Thanks. They got a lot of weapons right now.
Yeah, I think their offense is looking pretty good right now. I would almost put their trio of wide receivers, not including Travis Benjamin. I'm going to put Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen. I could probably say with those three guys, maybe a top seven, top five, trio of wide receivers.
They're five deep with legit NFL receivers, and they go two deep at the tight end spot. And they also have Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. You see, Pip Rivers wants to play till 2020.
Well, with these wide receivers, why not?
Oh, yeah.
They got some offensive line. To support all his damn kids.
True. All right. Well, so what did you give their grade, Tom?
A+.
A+. All right.
I gave it a B+.
Because you're an asshole.
No, I'm not. I love the draft, except for Mike Williams.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about fantasy football. Tim, lead us down this crooked road of stupid that you have going on.
Well, I don't really feel like that's appropriate, but nevertheless... Let's talk about their QB. You may know him by Philip, but his friends call him Pip Rivers. Probably one of my least favorite people in all of the NFL, but that's okay. He is a hell of a player. He's ranked 14th last year. He's thrown at least 4,200 yards during seven of the past eight seasons, and he's just kind of a consistent machine. Last year... He was fantastic. Had numerous games over 14 points. He only had a couple, only had one game over 20 points, and it was 26.4. So, not overly impressive fantasy, but, you know, you're talking about a guy who threw for just shy of 4,400 yards. He threw 33 touchdowns. The big MO for him, I've always compared him to a Jay Cutler. He's very similar in the way he makes some very poor decisions. 21 interceptions. But to have those numbers and to put up that type of season without your best wide receiver and without the number two that they brought in, Stevie Johnson, I still have to respect that. I may think the guy's a bit of a crybaby, but he can play the game of football.
Yeah, the one big thing about Pip Rivers is those 21 interceptions and 5 fumbles that he lost. It's a lot of turnovers. That's a lot of points to make up. And when those turnovers occurred, they occurred in bunches. It always seemed like there was 3 to 4 per game at the end of the season when this team was struggling overall. But I love what they've done to that offensive line. I love all the weapons they're surrounding Phillip Rivers with. And I think he's being slept on right now. He's being drafted as the 16th quarterback off the board. It's absolutely crazy. He should be drafted as a number one quarterback in my eyes. He's probably the quarterback I will own most in most leagues this year.
Yeah, I like Phillip Rivers this year. He's gotten a lot more weapons in on the offensive side. I shouldn't say got a lot more. They got Mike Williams. They're finally going to give Hunter Henry his chance to be the guy. And, you know, Antonio Gates is going to take a back seat but still be there, which is going to be nice. So they don't have to just rely on Henry alone. The other thing is that's kind of a question is that running back game. And with Phillip Rivers, he's not going to have that consistent check down that he had with Danny Woodhead. So that, in my opinion, may be kind of the question and the deal breaker there to where I could launch him into my top 10 or top 12 for sure quarterbacks that I'd be looking for. Because right now he's like right on that fringe between 11, 12, 13, and 14 for me. The other thing with Phillip Rivers, he hasn't really even been a top-tier fantasy quarterback since 2013. So that's the other thing that you have to think about too. But there's a lot of added weapons.
Here's the thing you need to focus on with Phillip Rivers. If you cut his turnovers in half, he's the 7th ranked quarterback in fantasy football.
Yep.
That's huge. So just think of it that way. I mean, if he can just, again, but it's always ifs and buts. I mean,
yeah,
same way as it was with Jay Cutler. But if he can even just cut him in half, It would be dramatically dramatic. 26 turnovers is an obnoxious amount. Obnoxious. So that's all I have for Phillip Rivers. Guys, anything else before we move on to running back?
Let's go to Melvin Gordon.
Let's go on to Melvin Chef Gordon Ramsay himself. He's going and...
Is that your own nickname that you just came up with?
I just made it up.
It's freaking terrible,
yeah,
Tim.
Yeah, it wasn't
like,
good.
You need to stop doing that.
I won't, though.
That was not funny.
No, it wasn't meant to be funny.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Moving on.
We probably lost like 10 listeners because of that dumbass joke.
Well, great. Now we're down to 3. Melvin Gordon was the 8th ranked running back last year in fantasy football. And, what can you say? After his rookie season where he did not even score a rushing touchdown, everyone was down on it. Oh, he was a 7th ranked running back. Sorry, Tom. Everyone was down on him, but he blew up. He was absolutely fantastic. Over 10 points in each of the first 5 weeks, and then went on a 30, then 15, 32, 13 streak run after that. Just dominant, dominant performances. I mean, had just 3 yards shy of 1,000 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns, over 400 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns, only 2 fumbles. That is what the Chargers expected when they drafted Melvin Gordon.
Last year, Melvin Gordon, in our fantasy rankings, Tom, do you remember where you had him?
I don't even know if he was in my top 32.
I don't think he was. I think he was, no, he was in your top 32, but he was definitely outside your top, I think it was 20.
Yeah.
Definitely. Tim, do you remember where he was at for you?
I probably cut.
Probably cut. Melvin Gordon was in my top 12. I remember I talked about that. I was a big believer in Melvin Gordon. I was trying to target him in our fantasy draft. It's a keeper league, and somebody didn't keep him right, and then somebody ended up drafting him. It just I really thought Melvin Gordon was going to have a good year. He had 10 rushing touchdowns. I am just very worried on what's going to happen with that knee of his when he does come up with this year. But with the loss of one Danny Woodhead, and I don't care that they re-signed Brandon Oliver. I don't care that they signed Kenyon Barner. Melvin Gordon is going to be the new three-down running back that the Chargers want and that the Chargers need. We're going to see him running the ball. We're going to be seeing him catching the ball. And honestly, too, even with Danny Woodhead there, we had Melvin Gordon catching, I think, what, three balls a game around there. And that's pretty impressive for him because not a lot of running backs get those types of opportunities in the receiving game. He had 57 targets total, caught 41 balls, over 400 yards receiving, and two touchdowns. They also drafted those two linemen. I'm excited to see what Melvin can do. And to be honest, I have him up there. And a lot of people think that he's like number 7 or number 8. You could put him up another spot or two higher than that.
You could put him up another spot or two higher than that, but you could also drop him down a good 5 to 7 spots lower. I am still not high on Melvin Gordon. I believe that them not having a backup plan for Melvin Gordon is egregious. It's someone who's already showed that he couldn't handle the load that he had last year. And instead of helping him and bringing in someone to kind of take the pressure off, like Danny Woodhead was doing, they basically said, hey, it's all you, champ. They're going to run this kid into the ground.
Yeah, I agree. I think they are going to run Melvin Gordon into the ground. They don't have a backup plan, but I don't think that's a bad thing for him. He's only 24 years old. Yeah, he did get injured last year, but that was his first major injury. This dude was tearing it up for the first 13 weeks of the year, and he still finished 7th after pretty much missing the final 4 weeks. His high receptions, that's going to stay there. Danny Woodhead missed majority of last season, and we saw what that offense looked like without Danny Woodhead. Melvin Gordon is going to catch the football. He has a chance to be a top 5 running back this year, and I'm going to be drafting him like that. He deserves to be drafted in the first round.
I agree.
All right, let's move on here. And I'm not going to talk about any of their other running backs. I don't know if any of you guys want to, but do you want to?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good, because it doesn't matter, because we're not going to do that, because that's boring. Let's move on to the wide receivers, and this is very, 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 very interesting to me. Obviously, we have Tyrell Williams, Dontrell Inman, Travis Benjamin, Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen. 5 NFL-caliber wide receivers, like Tom said before, they're 5 deep, and someone's going to get the shaft here. I mean, you're talking about, obviously, Keenan Allen coming off of injury. But he's a star. Mike Williams, they drafted him thinking he's, you know, going to be a star. You have Tyrell Williams, who had over 1,000 yards receiving last year, 7 touchdowns. Dontrell Inman and Travis Benjamin, both with 4 touchdowns apiece. Benjamin over just under 700 yards. Inman just over 800 yards. So you're talking about, you know, 5 guys there who can, you know, can definitely have a, you know, an impact on the team. Are guys like Inman and Benjamin and potentially even Williams more just something manufactured out of being a bad team and being a team that, you know, was without their star wide receivers? They were chasing teams all the time last year because of all the points that they were giving up. And this is kind of a false reality that we're seeing? Or are these guys that are going to actually, you know, compete and be something to look for in the 2017 season?
For me, I think their top 5 guys can all play for pretty much any NFL team. I think they're all NFL receivers. Yeah, having a shitty team definitely helped them. They were down quite often, and Pitt Rivers likes to spread that football around.
Sorry, Tom. I want to cut you off real quick. I want to say we're going to add a new scientific term that we call, you know, when teams are down. We're going to call it the Blake Bortles effect. You know, there's the butterfly effect. This is because that it makes sense. Carry on. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
I lost my train of thought. Thanks, Tim. I think overall, though, Tyrell Williams, look, last year, his success was because Keenan Allen was hurt. If Keenan Allen played the whole year, he probably would have had those numbers. It probably would have been a lot better, though, because he's a better receiver. But this dude has missed a significant amount of time the last 2 years. He's yet to complete a 16-game season in his NFL career. In the last 2 games, he's missed a total of 23 games. It's going to be hard to draft this guy. But Tyrell Williams, if he's there late in drafts, he's worth he's worth being drafted as your, if he's like your fifth guy, just in case that Keenan Allen gets injured, Tyrell Williams will be a fantasy viable asset for you.
Yeah, I think with the addition of Mike Williams, and I think that you have Tyrell Williams, who had a great year last year, you have Travis Benjamin that can catch the ball as well. Inman's very serviceable. I actually think that's going to help Keenan Allen in the long run. I think it's going to be able to keep him not on the field as much. You know, as much as I want to see Keenan Allen out there, you want your star receiver out there, you kind of have to ease him back. I saw a report that I think it was in May or June that said that he was at 85%. And I don't want to see Keenan Allen out there at 85%. I want to see him out there at 100%. And I don't want to see him rush back. And I feel like easing on him back to the field is better. And giving that offense more options other than just him, because we've seen before where Phillip Rivers tries to force feed him the ball. I don't want to see that. As much as a fantasy owner, I do want to see it. I don't want to see that for him because I want to see it longer term down the road.
Obviously, you guys would like a Keenan Allen, would like a Mike Williams somewhere, you know, whether your thoughts are wide receiver one or wide receiver two, whatever that may be. But the other guys, Tyrell Williams, Dontrell Inman, Travis Benjamin, if you had to pick one, who would be your number three wide receiver?
Tyrell.
Fantasy-wise, not if you're the Chargers, but in a fantasy football perspective.
Tyrell, 100%.
Yeah, this year I'd probably go with Tyrell. Just, again, slot receiver. It just makes sense.
All right. Let's move on here to one of the only times in this this little game that we play. We're going to talk about two tight ends, right? You have the ageless wonder, Antonio Gates. Just shy of 600 yards last year, but 7 touchdowns with 53 receptions. And then you have Hunter Henry. 36 receptions only, that's it, but had 478 yards and 8 touchdown. Guy for the future, the guy of the past, both are still here. Gentlemen, will this finally be the year that Antonio Gates will ride off into the sunset because he's just, you know, can't do it anymore? Or is he still going to go, you know, kind of hand in hand and be a thunder and lightning at the tight end position with Hunter Henry?
I think this is Antonio Gates' final season. He is tied with Tony Gonzalez for the most touchdowns of all time for a tight end. He's going to get that one, and they're going to say bye-bye, and it's going to be the Hunter Henry show. I like what Hunter Henry brings to the table. He was a viable red zone threat last season. I think he's going to continue to do that, but I don't see any way that Antonio Gates replicates his 53 catches, 548 yards, and 7 touchdowns this season.
Yeah, I like Hunter Henry, and it's kind of funny. You look at Hunter Henry. He's being drafted right now as the 11th tight end overall, and that may be crazy to think of. That's what, late 9th round, early 10th round right there. And that is a couple spots above Antonio Gates, who did finish the year ahead of him. And it's, I don't know. I like Hunter Henry. I don't necessarily like his ADP right now, where he's getting drafted. I'm not super fond of it. If I can get him a little bit later, other than the 9th round, I'd feel pretty cool with it. But then again, at the same time, if you need a tight end, I don't hate you for taking Hunter Henry. Former Razorback, by the way.
Gentlemen, that is all I have for the Fantasy Football Outlook.
Thank God.
Oh, Tom.
That was rough.
No, it wasn't. Maybe for Josh.
Nah, I'm fine. Sure? So let's talk about where we think that the Chargers are going to end up on the year.
Chargers, I think they're going to shock a lot of people this year. I have them finishing in second place in the AFC West. They will be 10-6. I like their offense. I like what their defense brings to the table, and if Pip Rivers can just cut those turnovers down just a little bit, they will be winning a bunch more football games this coming season.
Tom, I normally like to say this to Josh, but sir, you are out of your mind, and you are so unbelievably wrong. It is not even funny. Have you looked at their schedule? Let me read to you their first 8 games, and you tell me where you see consecutive wins.
Their first
in
7.
Denver.
I have them starting 7-0.
In so. Denver.
7-0.
Miami at home. Kansas
Win.
City at home.
Win.
Philadelphia at home.
Win.
At New York.
Win.
Giants, not Jets. At the Raiders.
Win.
At home versus the Broncos.
Win.
On the road against the New England Patriots.
Loss. 7-1 to start the year.
They will be lucky. That, honestly, if they are looking at that first half of the schedule, they have to be hoping that they start 4-4. They have some extremely, extremely tough games there. You know, the two division rivals on the road, including, you know, a couple at home. But the Giants on the road is going to be tough. That's a cross-country game right there. And they also have the Patriots in a cross-country game. And then the week after that, even the Jaguars, the lowly Jaguars, that's on the road as well. Whoever made this schedule did not do them any favors whatsoever. The second half of their schedule is a little bit easier, but still they play the Cowboys on the road. They play the Chiefs on the road. They have the Redskins at home. It's not an easy schedule for them. I think that this is going to be a much better season for them. I feel like their defense is going to be better, but I see them as a 6-10 team.
I got them at 6 wins as well.
Jesus!
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to go more.
Josh had him at 12 until my argument. And he's like, yeah, Tom's an idiot.
No, I just have him at 6, and they do have a tough schedule. I do agree with Tim there, but I just feel like as much as I like their offense and I like the possibilities, I just don't think they have enough on that defensive side of the ball. And I just, they may be in shootout games. They may win a 2 late like that, and I'm curious to see what happens, but I don't see it. I'm sorry.
Well, what I will
haters
say,
gonna hate.
The Chargers are now going to make it to the Super Bowl because Josh agreed with me.
Yeah. So let's go. Let's do this real quick. I want one bold prediction from you guys. Could be fantasy. Could be on the year. Doesn't matter. Give it to me.
Hunter Henry, top 5 tight end.
Keenan Allen does not return to form and is not a top 30 wide receiver.
Interesting. I don't like it.
Josh hates
but
that.
But interesting. Phillip Rivers will throw for over 5,000 yards for the first time in his career.
And in doing so, he will throw for over 50 interceptions for the first time in his career.
Interception yards count, right? Right? Listen, no, that's what I have.
If he's throwing for that many yards, that spells bad news to me. And with that schedule and those defenses they have to face this year, he's going to be lucky to hit 4,000 yards this year.
All right.
What?
Lucky.
You're nuts.
Anything else, guys?
Absolutely nuts.
Yeah, he's crazy. Anything else?
No.
No?
I just want a fucking Charger slap Tim right now.
I like that. Charger slap?
Charger slap.
Do the Chargers do the new Los Angeles Chargers fans know about the Charger slap?
They do. Especially the ones that are all hyped up on Preach-All.
Yeah, we took Preach-All before the show today.
What the hell is a Charger slap?
It's just like a bitch slap.
No, it's not real.
Oh, I'm like, what the hell is that?
I just thought it was funny.
I'm like,
it's like a Superman punch, but you backhand him instead.
Oh, God, gotcha. God, these pants are, it's so hot. I gotta take these pants off.
Stop. All right, guys, that's all we have for you. Hope you enjoyed. Woo! Again, check us out on Twitter, at PonyKeg Sports, at PonyKeg Tom, at PonyKeg Tim. Check us out on our website, PonyKegSports.com. You guys can listen to all of the old episodes that we have on there, plus the new ones that are coming out. Also, check out our buddies on CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles and stuff like that. Also, check out our other buddies at DraftingSleepers.com. Do yourselves a favor. Check them out. Sign up for a free account and talk fantasy sports with them. So that's all we got for you guys this week. Be on the lookout for the next couple episodes that we got coming your way. Got a couple fantasy shows, a couple other team breakdowns. And yeah, until next time, we'll see you.
Peace!